Well, tonight there is more coming in from the disturbance, the renewed disturbances in Boko, as the minority in parliament is taking on the IGP, Mr. Christian Tete Yohunu, over his promise of police recruitment for the youth of Boko in exchange for peace. At least the latest clash between residents and police in Boko has led to the death of one person and injuries to two others, including a police officer. The Inspector General of Police, Christian Tete Yohunu, is currently in the area leading mediation talks with stakeholders to resolve the current situation, where he is promising special police recruitment for the youth if they lay down their weapons, a position the minority is unhappy about. We'll hear from them shortly, but first, listen to what the IGP said in his first engagement with the youth earlier today.
Those who have retired, who have worked in any of these security services, have all distinguished themselves. And so we are appealing to you to lay down your arms, have confidence in us, so that together we'll work and that we'll bring peace to this area. We assure you that when it comes to recruitment, we'll give the people of Boko priority. We'll give the youth of Boko priority. And so for that matter, a special team will come here to do special recruitment for people of the youth of Boko. If we get them, I'm sure some of them have helped us a lot in international communities, in international peacekeeping. I know, and there are names, only that I will not mention, who have worked diligently, and those who have retired, they also work together with us to make sure that we work together to bring peace here. I know how hardworking people from this area are. So we are appealing to you, just let us know where we are going wrong so we can quickly correct those things and then make sure that we continue to work with our people diligently. Where by mistake we have done something wrong, forgive us. We will not repeat those things again. We are also appealing to you that our people, the security services over here, the police, the military, the prison, fire service, immigration, all those who are here, they are here to work to bring peace. If any individual commits anything wrong, let us know so that we will pull that person out of the area, so that we continue to work together to bring peace. So please forgive us where we have gone wrong. Forgive us where we have gone wrong. Those mistakes will be corrected.
Apology to the youth for any police excesses encountered in police operations in the last few days. In fact, he was talking in general, you know, apologizing for the security services operating in the area and any excesses that the service officers of the service have engaged in.
Some of us, we have been here in the years past. We know Boko. Boko is an area where every security officer would like to come and work here before finally he goes on retirement. Today, some of us who saw that, we are not happy with what it is today. It is our prayer the Almighty God will bring the same glory of Boko back. I've come here to come and work together with you and also to ensure that our men that we bring here, they work according to the mandate. I've seen a lot of things that have been written on the placards, and we are going to work towards it. Make sure that your concerns as you have shown on your placards, we are going to work according to it. We want everything that is worrying the people in this area about we, the security over here, let us know. Just put your grievances to the overlord and then we'll receive it. and we will make sure that we will correct those things urgently. Just forgive us. We have provided security in many other countries. Our duty is to be neutral. And to the best of we, the leaders in Accra, we want to ensure that there's neutrality. But if in the course of the work, we have some of our personnel who are not exhibiting that neutrality, that will not bring peace. We plead with you. Just let us know. Let us know, and we'll solve that problem so that the reason of being here will be solved. We don't have to be here permanently.
So that is the Inspector General of Police, Mr. Christian Tete-Yonu, there speaking to the resident of Boko earlier today. Well, the minority in Parliament have also waded into this particular development and have been speaking on it. Earlier in the day, they addressed a news conference where my colleague James Kosiavaji was there for Joy News, and he joins me in studio with details of that. James, the minority is taking some strong exception to the position of the IGP.
Yes, Brett. So this press conference was organized by the Defense and Interior Committee, the minority on the Defense and Interior Committee in Parliament, led by the ranking member and member of Parliament for Asin South, Reverend Intim Fojo, and he was flanked on the left by the minority whip, Frank Anodompre, and his deputy ranking member, Honorable Amankwa Menu Kofi, who is also the member of parliament for Echuma Kwanguma constituency. Now, they indicated that they heard this or saw this, comment from the IGP on social media, and thinks that with the volatility of situations in Boko, it is wrong for the IGP to go on that tangent, promising recruitment for the youth in return for peace. They believe that this will create similar situations in other communities surrounding Boko or even other parts of the country where the youth may feel that violence will be the best way of getting recruitment or employment from government.
We have been reliably informed that the house of the majority leader, the Honorable Ayariga, has been burnt. And so is the Honorable Ladi. Yes. Pusiga. Yes, I understand. She's also, her house has also been touched. And so the visit by the IGP to the Boko enclave is a step in the right direction. I mean, it's something that everybody should applaud. But what I am reading from social media, if that is true, then the IGP's visit is rather going to create more problems than good. To say that lay down your tools, and that if you lay down your tools, we will consider you for recruitment, it's something that one cannot understand. Why should people, yes, it is important. In order to de-escalate the situation in the Boko enclave, it is important that we get all parties involved to lay down their tools. But for me, it will be absurd to recruit people into the security services based on the fact that they've laid down their tools. What it means, that if you do not even meet the criteria to be recruited into the security service, you will be recruited into the security service because you have laid down your tool. That obviously is not the way to go. It is important that we deal with the Boko issue once and for all. I mean, if we all know the sensitivity surrounding the Boko issue. So if you are not careful, and then one ethnic group lay down tools and then they are recruited into the security services, we all know the chaos this is going to create for the nation. It is simply not the way to go.
So that is the deputy ranking on the Interior and Defence Committee.
And Defence Committee, Honorable Amankwa Menu there, making those comments.
What more are they saying?
Well, the ranking member himself, Reverend Itim Fojo, thinks that the earlier governments act on it, the better, because the situation as we speak is affecting especially women, children, and education in the area. And so it is about time government put its feet to fire to resolve the issue once and for all.
We from the minority was...
The failure to de-escalate tensions leads to a cycle of reprisals, which, if unchecked, will further entrench insecurity in the area. As a strategic border town, Bokko's instability poses a wider national and regional security risk. The expansion of attacks to other regions, including the Northeast and Ahaf region, have further underscores the urgent need for a more coordinated response. Beyond the immediate security concerns, the instability has devastated the affected communities. Schools have been forced to shut down, depriving children of their right to education, while key institutions and businesses are fleeing the area due to safety concerns. Critical sectors such as education and healthcare are severely impacted, with teachers, nurses, and other professionals refusing postings to Bokko for fear of their safety. The continued insecurity is gradually crippling essential services, worsening the plight of residents, and deepening the humanitarian crisis. It is evident that the current approach to addressing the conflict has not been sufficient to restore calm. The government must demonstrate greater urgency and decisiveness. The deteriorating situation in Bokko is a national concern, and the government must take immediate action to prevent further escalation.
Top Stories, as always, is brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Well, let's go on to the phone lines now and bring in the ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee of Parliament, Reverend Itim Fojo. He's also the Member of Parliament for Ansin South Constituency. Grateful to you, Reverend, for joining us here. We also have with us a security analyst, Dr. Victor Docke. He's done an extensive research on the area of Bokko and its environs. He's joining us on the lines as well. Doc, I'm grateful to you. Let me start with you. Now, if you listen to the IGP and his call on the people to lay down their tools, you know, what do you make of the message that he's sending to the people in Bokko?
Thank you very much. I think with regards to his presence in Bokko is to get an understanding of what really went on, although there will be sit trips that, you know, should have been sent to him, but he wants to go the first hand and interact with the key stakeholders, being the Bokunaba, the other relevant key stakeholders from the Mapusi side, the security and whatnot. His presence also sends a signal to his men there that morale is not lost. We just need to keep, you know, up with regards to our mandate and avoid anything that would bring what on toward, you know, the crisis for that matter. But listening to him closely, I think there was a little bit of a problem with regards to the communication. What should have gone out to the people in the gathering is different, or should have been separated from what should have been communicated alone with the, you know, the overlord himself. I think they need to watch that. It is not good. Because if you go in there and you are a neutral arbiter, for you to go and say and promise the youth recruitment positions, it brings to the question, which youth are you talking about? And in this situation, I don't think this is the time we need to look at recruitment. Recruitment is tied to what aspect? Is it going to be a direct prevention or a structural prevention? But does that really solve the issues at hand? I don't think so. So I think not only the Honorable IGP, but all neutral arbiters who go in there should know what to say in a sensitive area like Boko. So encouraging the youth to lay down their weapons. How do we now look at getting the weapons from the area?
Small arms. But you need to start from somewhere. He believes that when the youth are gainfully employed, there will be less possibility of them going out there to fight. And again, he was speaking to the youth of Boko, not to a particular group.
Agreed. But my point is, in a volatile situation such as this, anything you see that is not well articulated and explained further can be what? Misconstrued. It is good to say that the youth will be employed, but the timing of this situation will not add to the solution of the issue. Laying down their weapons, having jobs, is different from resolving a crisis that, you know, results in armed clashes over a little misunderstanding. Okay? There are issues that we need to look at and solve. When you give them the jobs in this current situation without resolving or addressing the conflict and bringing it to finality, what is going to happen is the jobs that they get, the monies will be used to acquire the weapons in the name of self-defense. And then you are adding up to the issues. But if you solve the problem and everybody understands that the conflict is over, you give them the employment, the monies will be what channeled toward positive use.
Okay.
Do you get the correlation and the scenario I'm trying to build here?
I get it.
Do
stay with me. Let me bring in the ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee of Parliament, Reverend Intim Fojo. Reverend, I'm grateful to you for agreeing to speak to us. But first of all, Reverend, let me ask you, how are you doing generally?
Good evening, Mr. Brice. I'm doing very well, and a good evening to Dr. Dogger and our cherished listeners.
Okay. All right. Reverend, so, I mean, you say that how government intends or how government is dealing with this situation is not yielding the right results. What would bring out the sort of the desired results that we are looking for? What should government do?
Yes, so the minority in Parliament, we have held a press conference together with our leadership. And the major concerns we have raised is calling on government to act swiftly to contain the deteriorating security situation in Boko. Reports in the media suggest a death toll that is very high. That's about 300, with many people that are said to be missing, and those have not even been reported as dead.
For the death toll, you mean since the disturbances started, or with this renewed clash?
Today, the Daily Graphic put out a front-page story and reported a death toll of 300. So that is my reference point. But that's also beyond that, many people who are said to have been missing.
I guess the numbers should be reported.
But what we are saying is that the growing sophistication of weaponry that is used in these particular attacks and the escalations that we are seeing calls for a lot of attention. We have seen the recent development, the targeted bus attacks, arson, you know, setting ablaze the residence of the Honorable Mahama Yariga. All these reflect increasing volatility of the situation. And so what we are asking is for calm to prevail. This is a very sensitive matter that every actor must remove political polarization from it for us to look at it very nationalistically and to urge all freedom parties to be restrained. We are appealing for calm. We want calm to return to the good people of Boko. We know efforts by the government in appointing Otumfo, His Majesty Asante Kine, as the mediator. The diligent steps that Otumfo has taken so far is in progress. we have seen other actors, Peace Council, other actors, National House of Chiefs, and major traditional leaders who are also supporting this peace-building efforts. Mm-hmm. But while that is ongoing, we have seen these recent escalations. MPs, members of parliament, residents, Pusiga, Boko, burnt properties of the Ghana Police Service burnt down. More importantly, people have been killed. So our condolences to the bereaved families and our sympathies to the many who are injured, and also to those who have lost properties, the organizations, okay, individuals who have lost properties. Mm. What we're asking is that we need to be able to step up. The existing strategy that is in place has not proven sufficient, so we need to step up. But immediately, we are calling on the security agencies to investigate, you know, in a very expedited manner, the causes of this escalation, and to address those causes. Once those causes are addressed, then we'll come back to the table. There are certain major decisions also that have to be done. For instance, the Boko Inter-Ethnic Peace Committee, we think that it has to be reconstituted. We also think that the government will have to foster a more inclusive engagement with the various actors and factions to closely understand, you know, their concerns, listen to their concerns and understand. And when that is done, you would come to the conclusion that, you know, and I agree with Dr. Doge, that it will not just be about wanting to go into recruitment in the Ghana Police Service. That may not be the major concerns the youth and the concerned groups were faring. So we need to engage them further to understand their concerns, various groups, and when those concerns have been heard, to take steps to address them. Because women are suffering. Children are suffering.
I get it. But this engagement, Reverend, have been happening over the years, and we are not getting the desired result. So if the IGP thinks employment could do the trick, is it bad to explore it?
I must commend the IGP for his visit. That I must applaud him, because his presence within this escalation goes to boost the morale of the men and officers who are on site, and his engagement also with key actors. It's commendable within this period of escalation. It is going to significantly help in restoring calm, and the leadership he's playing so far. Mm. But I think that he will have to abandon the commitment of promising the youth jobs. For that, we would have to encourage him to abandon it. Mm. And look at a broader, you know, underlying factors that should be addressed, which can bring us to a point of calm.
Okay.
Boko is strategically located at the northern border, and so it is very, very sensitive for our national security. It is also very sensitive for our regional stability, and it is in the interest of all of us that calm and peace is restored, and it must be done urgently. But in all this, I must also keep stressing the fact that politics must be entirely, entirely removed. Politics,
okay,
partisan politics must, okay, be entirely removed from the situation.
We're
also appealing to the security agencies that in handling such conflicts, there's need. We applaud what they've done so far, the national security, the military, the police, and all relevant security agencies. But we want them more than ever before to be very professional, to be firm, to be fair, and even most importantly, to be very diplomatic, considering, you know, the emotional, cultural, traditional, you know, sensitivities surrounding the Boko, okay, conflict.
All right. Do stay with me. I'll come to you for a final remark. But let me go to Dr. Docker. Doc, so now the statement has gone. It looks like it's a motivation for the youth there. How should the police approach this once it looks like there's a consensus that it wasn't appropriate to a strategy to use?
I agree strongly. Because even if you're talking about creating employment opportunities for the teeming youth over there, you need to put in robust structures, okay? And this employment thing is a what? Long-term thing. Because if you don't have the structures in place over there, what happens? It will still break down. Now,
Imagine you give these youths employment opportunities in the service or anywhere else. You take them out of the workplace. You'll be shocked that when you don't resolve or address the conflict, they will still find their way back there. And what happens is, we know of what their kinsmen who are in Ashaiman and elsewhere, when the conflict erupts, they support them with what? Funds. They support them with whatever they get for the fighting to continue. So this is the cycle that you're going to have. You give them the jobs, they get the money, and then we invest it into the weapons. Now, doing my research there, interacting with the youth, this was what came out. They work on the farms, get the produce, sell, and get the weapons. Why do they get it? They say for self-defense. Why do you think you need a weapon for self-defense? We don't trust each other. That is the point. Now, how do we even get the weapons from the system itself? And let people not get me wrong. Employment is very good. It is a long-term process tied to structural prevention, which is very good for the youth in any conflict area, not only in Boko.
All right. Okay.
So then, we need the systems to be in place, address the conflict, and then now you can look at creating employment for everybody there.
I'm grateful to you, Dr. Victor Doke. He is a security analyst there. But let me wrap up with Reverend Tim Fojo. Reverend, grateful for staying on. Do I have Reverend on the line? Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Reverend, so I wanted to find out from you how you are handling all of these issues, you know, amidst the hearing that you are the security services are pursuing you.
No, this is our most sacred duty. It is our constitutional mandate, and so we have to discharge it most conscientiously at all times, and in all boldness, without fear of any state, you know, attacks that is unwarranted. So we will continue to discharge our duties. But in my final words, I'm saying we're appealing to all, you know, feeding factors that this is time for us to de-escalate. Let us de-escalate tensions in Boko. Let us restrain from reprisals and attacks that will further exacerbate the situation. And also the concern about the sophistication of weaponry that is used and the source of these weapons are questions that the government must address very effectively.
Okay, all right. So you're not intimidated at all, right?
Oh, not at all. Why should I be intimidated? I'm not intimidated. I'm doing my job, and I'm exercising my parliamentary oversight in the most sincere, in the most circumspective way.
Has the speaker spoken to you that some people have brought a letter seeking you?
No, that is a conversation we will have, but I'm saying that we are still in the discharge of our duty. We are not afraid, and everyone has already had their opinion on, you know, the lawless manner in which armed attacks had to purportedly coming from national security had to evade my home without warrant. But that is a conversation we'll have another day.
I'm grateful to you, Reverend Tim Fojo, for joining us. He is ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee of Parliament. My name is Samuel Kojo Brace. Top Story was brought to you always by Telecel, Connecting Energies, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Coming up next is Ghana Connect, and today with the man, Papani Ashale. Good evening.